Let's open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. Not someplace we go very often, but I felt like this was something the Lord wanted us to talk about today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, Father, we ask you to lead us by your Spirit into the study of your word. Give me utterance by your Spirit and give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. In Leviticus chapter 23, God lays out, the whole chapter is about the different feasts. There's seven feasts that God ordained for the children of Israel to keep every year. And every one of these is prophetic. Every one of them is a type and a shadow of the New Testament and things to come. And we are in the midst of one of those right now. If you were Jewish right now, you would be celebrating one of these feasts. So I just want to quickly go through, and then we're going to concentrate on the one that is going on right now. And if you turn there to Leviticus chapter 23, in verse 4 it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations or holy gatherings, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times." Now the first one was the Passover. And of course, we're all pretty familiar with Passover, and Jesus fulfilled that. He became our Passover. And it says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And then in verse 6, it says, on the 15th day, the very next day, there would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And then down in verse 10, it talks about the Feast of First Fruits, and that immediately follows the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then in verse 15, it talks about the Feast of Pentecost. It says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, even 7 Sabbaths shall be completed." And then verse 16 explains that a little more. It says, count 50 days. So 50 days after Passover was the Feast of Pentecost. And it's Pentecost is kind of the slang name. And because Pentecost means 50, or Penta means 50. And then in verse 23, it talks about the Feast of the Trumpets. Verse 23 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets." And then in number verse 27, we have the 6th feast called the Feast of Atonement, or the Day of Atonement, which is also the Jewish New Year. And it says, "On the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation for you." And of course, that was the day when the high priest offered sacrifices for the sins of the people. And then number 7 is actually, you know, we've heard a lot about the Day of Atonement, and we've heard a lot about Passover and a lot about Pentecost, but the Jews considered this last feast to be the most important. And verse 33, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the 1st day there shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work." Now we are in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles right now, or it's also called the Feast of Booths. It's called the Feast of Ingathering, and it's also, the Jewish people refer to it by its Jewish name. And it began at sunset, October 12th. You know that religiously the Jews count a day from sunset to sunset as a day, not from sunrise or not from 12 a.m. So on sunset of what would be our October 12th, and it runs through sunset October 19th, is the Feast of Tabernacles, or as the Hebrews call it, Sukkoth. And it says that they were to abide in tents or booths for 7 days. And verse 39 says, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land. So this was a festival about ingathering. It was also called the Feast of Ingathering. And then verse 40 says, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees. And this is where they got when they laid palm trees branches down when Jesus came into Jerusalem. The boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. One of the key elements of this feast was it was a feast of rejoicing. Now, of these seven feasts, three were required for all the males to attend. Passover was required. And in Exodus 23:14, it tells us of these the three that are required. And of course, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits all ran together. So you could, if you were there for 9 days, you could take all three of those feasts in. But they were required to come to Passover. And the second one that was required was the Feast of the Harvest. Or excuse me, that was the Pentecost. All the men were required to be there on the Feast of Pentecost, which was 50 days later. And then the third feast that was required was the Feast of Tabernacles. Interestingly enough, it's the only one that's mentioned is going to be continued during the millennium. During the millennium, the Bible tells us that there will be the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll look at that scripture here a little bit later. And on all of the feasts, tells us in Numbers chapter 10, that there would be burnt offerings and peace offerings made, and there would also be a blowing of trumpets. Every feast had blowing of trumpets. Now, these three feasts were also referred to as pilgrimage feasts, festivals, because they had to travel there. Now, each one of them commemorated an event in the life of Israel, but also had a spiritual significance, but also had a prophetic significance. So the Passover and the unleavened bread were recalling the Exodus from Egypt, of course. And it was also the Feast of First Fruits, when they would take the first offering of the first harvest, which was barley. And they would wave that first sheath of barley, just one, before the high priest would wave it before the Lord. And of course, that was fulfilled. The Passover was fulfilled by Christ, but Christ was also the first fruits. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 23 that Christ is the first fruits of those who are raised from the dead. So we see Christ in both of those. And then, of course, 50 days later was, in the natural, the celebrating the wheat harvest, or the beginning of the wheat harvest. And the rabbis have declared that it was also the day that Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. And, of course, we understand that on the day of Pentecost, there was a harvest of souls when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And, you know, 3,000 people were saved that day by Peter's preaching. So we see that the wheat harvest, the barley harvest referred to Jesus. The wheat harvest refers to us. And then the Feast of the Tabernacles is called the General Harvest Festival. And it was, again, celebrating a natural event, the harvest, but it also, they were to celebrate, they were to stay in these booths, they were to build these little wooden shacks or little, whatever they were to made of, but the only thing that was required was they had to be a certain size and the roofs had to be of loose branches. So loose that the sun could shine in and the stars could shine in. And then they were allowed to cover them in case it rained. But, and it was to celebrate that they'd wandered in the desert, and they lived in tents in the desert for 40 years. So now they're going to live in these tents for 7 days. Now, there was an eighth day, which was called the Great Day of the Feast. And of course, that was the day when Jesus came, and on the last day of the feast, he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me." That was the Great Day of the Feast. And there was great celebration that day because they were going to leave their tents and go to their houses. Amen? They didn't want to camp out forever. And of course, I hope you can understand, you know, when they came out of the 40 years, God said, "I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build, wells that you didn't dig, and vineyards that you didn't plant." Well, do you know that none of you are going to have to get a building permit in heaven? Amen? You're not going to have to put up with building inspectors in heaven. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So all this is a type of the last great harvest. And it's a time of, supposed to be a time of great rejoicing. They were to rejoice before the Lord with singing and dancing and songs of praise for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they were to rejoice because they were going to go home that day. As I said, it's also called the Feast of Ingathering. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. And it's also called Sukkot, which is the Hebrew word for booths. And it was considered, now we would probably have probably thought of Passover as a great feast, or maybe the Day of Atonement. But you know, the Day of Atonement wasn't even required for them to be there because it didn't really concern them. It was done by the high priest for them. Amen? You know, we weren't there when Jesus was crucified, but it was done for us once for all. And this Feast of the Tabernacles was so great that it became known simply as the feast, and it was also later called the Season of Our Joy. Flavius Josephus, the man who, he was a Jewish soldier who was captured by the Romans, and when they attacked Israel, and he was taken into the household of the emperor, and he wrote the history of the Jewish people for the Romans. And Flavius Josephus referred to the Feast of the Tabernacle as the holiest and greatest of the Hebrew feasts. It's the going home. Amen? What a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen? They traditionally read Psalm 27. Or they traditionally do read Psalm 20. Still, they read Psalm 27. And so let's just read that real quickly. It's only 14 verses. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You know, this is a psalm. We are down here. We are as a type of that. You know, we're in the wilderness. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Did he find it? Not here. See, we're strangers on this earth. On this earth, this Psalm 27 should give us strength. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." If you're looking for light and salvation anywhere else, You're looking in the wrong place.